What are you laughing about?
Are you funny?
Let's open with hymn number 282.
Jesus Christ,
I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me. O thou, my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but only a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks so that I may go in and prepare it for me and my son, that we may eat it and then die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after that make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 5th chapter of Galatians, verse 25, through the 6th chapter, verse 10, reading as follows. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another and envying one another. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Here ends the epistle. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Hallelujah. Consider the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add a cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glories, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take care of the thoughts of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Here ends the gospel. Confess the Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church, I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn number 348.
Jesus.
Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 56th chapter of Isaiah, verse 8, through the 57th chapter, verse 2. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel says, "Yet I will gather to him others besides those who are gathered to him. All you beasts of the field, come to devour. All you beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind, they are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yes, they are greedy dogs which never have enough. And they are shepherds who cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his own gain from his own territory. Come, one says, I will bring wine, and we will fill ourselves with intoxicating drink. Tomorrow will be as today, and much more abundant. The righteous perishes, and no man takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away, while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness." Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, grant that we seek no other heavenly food but the word of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear Christian friends, in this our day, the preaching of prosperity is quickly coming to dominate in all the churches. It is a mere shadow of Christianity that is stripped of all remorse, all repentance, the cross of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins, and the promise of everlasting life. It has a false substance, and it consists in empty promises which do give comfort when life is going well, but none at all when Christians must grieve and suffer. It is a spiritual food, but it is a moldy bread, because it offers no enduring help and comfort. It is a pretty life of pretty houses, but the houses have an elephant in the living room that is so obvious and so seemingly out of place that everybody prefers to ignore it and pretend that it is not there. And it is this, that despite all the promises of the good life, all the assurances that with enough faith every trouble in life will go away as if by magic, Christians still suffer loss and sickness. They lose their jobs. They have rebellious children who bring grief upon their parents. They are often in poverty, often oppressed by many cares, by loneliness, and by broken relationships with loved ones. In short, they endure almost every form of trouble, no matter how strong their faith may be. They need food for strength, but what food do they receive? Too often, it is food that is fresh today and moldy tomorrow. Prayer chains and so-called special anointings of God's Spirit and uplifting worship and positive thinking and give-to-get offerings and 10-point to-do list sermons and social outreach programs and demographically sensitive Bible studies and every other kind of innovation does nothing to help. Men may say, "Yes, Lord, take these troubles away in Jesus' name, amen." But God does not seem to listen. In fact, he even responds in his word, "No, you must endure for a time, maybe even until death." And meanwhile, as Christians are suffering and finding no relief in the programs which men offer, the shepherds who are over them ignore the grief of their sheep, offer them no real comfort, and continue urge them to ever more works of faith which do not alleviate the problem or even make it easier to bear. The shepherds grow fat and rich while their sheep are helpless. They do not offer them the food which will endure with them forever, but moldy bread which they must throw away because in a few moments it will be of no use. The shepherds may as well be calling out, "Come, wild beasts, beasts of the forest, devour my sheep. And even so, our lesson declares, the righteous perish, and no man takes it to heart. What is a true shepherd to do? One who knows his sheep needs something which will endure forever. It is not that hard to understand. It is only the very thing which Jesus told Peter. Feed my sheep, because they are poor and needy. Feed them my words. Feed them my body and blood, which is given for their sins. Feed them with food that will endure forever, and not with food that will last them hardly a day. They are to feed the sheep, not send them out into the world saying, there is food out there. Here's a map and an instruction manual. Go get it. Good luck. Imagine how it would have been when Elijah came to the city of Zarephath. And there he found a widow and her son. Make me a little loaf of bread, he said. And in exasperation she responds, there's hardly enough flour left for me and my son, and you want me to feed you also. We are about to die. And Elijah responds, well, dear lady, I don't know what you're talking about. You must not be mixing the flour right if you're running out so fast. If you'd only had enough faith, you would surely be able to find more flour and oil. Perhaps you didn't pray hard enough. All of which would be to say, yes, you're starving and it's your own fault. Well, that may well be true, but it does nothing to help the problem. Because if she were capable of feeding herself and her son, she surely would have. How cold and callous that would have been. How empty of comfort and hope. Well, it is just as bad when poor Christians are suffering and the only help they are offered is a list of things to do to make things better. It's little better than saying, if you would just do things right, you wouldn't be suffering so. But that is not what Elijah said. Instead, he told her, do not fear. Do as I said, for the Lord has declared, the barrel of flour and the cruse of oil will not be used up till this famine is over. He as much as said, look, here is food from the hand of the Lord. Do not be afraid. Eat and be full. Go about your daily labor, knowing that your Father in heaven is providing for you. There is nothing you need do, nothing you need pray. He knows you need these things. He will give them. Therefore, do not worry or be afraid. That is what God does when he gives to you his Son, Jesus Christ. He does not tell you, look, Jesus has laid out this program of 15 things for you to do, and if you do them right, everything will get better. Now go out there and do it. No, because if that were possible, then he would not have needed to send Jesus at all. God could have just left us a self-help manual instead. But God did not send us a self-help manual. He sent us a Savior, Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, he gave the world's only perfect man, who needed no righteousness or help from anyone. And every word he spoke and all of his deeds were just right and were perfect. And yet, what do we see when we see Jesus? We see that he was hated, oppressed by his enemies who threatened his life. His friends abandoned him, denied him. He was arrested, tortured horribly, put to death. This is the success and the victorious life that he had for living the most perfect life of all and doing and saying everything exactly right. Some people would say that the Bible is a self-help manual. But Jesus and the apostles say otherwise. Jesus said, Moses wrote of me. Andrew said, we have found him of whom Moses and the prophets did write. Jesus of Nazareth. Peter said, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth on him shall receive remission of sins. And Jesus said after his resurrection, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And again he said to his disciples, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." So it was no instruction manual for human life that God sent when he caused the saints of old to write down his word. It was Jesus that he sent. He gave them, and he gives you, a good shepherd who feeds the sheep with food that he himself has purchased and prepared. He does not demand that you earn it. He simply feeds you. Any shepherd that demands that the sheep feed them, that the sheep feed themselves, is a lazy shepherd who cares only for his own ease. And any shepherd who is not giving you Jesus is a blind watchman and an ignorant man. He may promise you that tomorrow will be even better than today, filled with abundance, but he lies, and the righteous perish right under his nose. He does not deserve to be a shepherd, but should be removed from his office so that another can take his place and feed the sheep of Jesus with Jesus' own word. This food of Jesus will not cause all your trouble to cease, but it will do what the moldy bread cannot do. It will give you comfort and peace and take away your fear and give you strength to endure the world until you can graciously be taken from it to sleep in peace. What is this food? It is the word of your Savior. Hear it and be filled. That your Father in heaven loves you as you are, with all your shame, your trouble, your pain, and your sins. You indeed are to blame for all these things, and deserve no better, and there is nothing you can do, say, or think that will in any way make your life better, or save you from a bitter end and eternal death. Therefore, Jesus has come to take your place, so that God can blame him instead of you for all your sins. Every just reason that God would have had to send you suffering, he counts against Jesus instead. Yes, even the sufferings of hell, he gives those also to Jesus. And bearing these things in your place, Jesus gives you something in exchange. He gives you his own perfect and righteous life. It is yours. Your sin is his. His righteousness is yours. And now, no matter what trouble oppresses you, you are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Now, what will you do with this gift? It is yours, though you did not deserve it. I'll tell you what you will do. Since you've been set free from death itself, since you have an assured place as an heir of eternal life in heaven, you will now walk free in the Spirit of God and not be afraid of death or hunger or poverty or anything else that may happen to you in this life, because none of these things can steal from you what Jesus has done. And what is more, if your Father in heaven has so richly provided for you, will he truly leave you without food or clothing or shelter or all the necessities of this life? No, he provides those for you as well. Even though through your labors, through your parents, or through the kindness of others, even though you must still continue to live in sinful flesh, in a sinful world, you will be so grateful what God and Jesus has done for you that you cannot help but show love to all men, and especially for your Christian brothers and sisters, members of the household of faith. And until the day you die, you will return again and again to eat the good food which Jesus provides for you, to confess your sins, and to hear again and again that your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name. This is your new life, the life of the Spirit, a life only found in Jesus. The alternative is to return again to the despair which you must know if you have to feed yourself and have no one to care for you, no shepherd to comfort you, and no one to grant you the firm assurance and the hope of heaven. the false god of mammon, of worry, of self-help. They are of no help at all. That is not who you are anymore, because Jesus is your help. He is your God. You can serve him simply by hearing him and believing his word. There is no better service than that you have to give to him. But what about the starving sheep in the world? What about them? You have friends in those churches. You may be fed the good food, but they are starving. Most of them do not even know it. Many of them do, but because their shepherds do not care for them and will not offer them Jesus, they go without, and they do not know where to turn. Some of them die. And that is a blessing, because the Lord takes them while they still have the spark of faith burning in their hearts, which still looks to Jesus for help and salvation. The Lord takes them early, lest they despair of the forgiveness of sins, which the lazy shepherds will not offer. They perish, but it is a blessing. Yet their shepherds do not take it to heart. They watch the few faithful Christians, the old man or woman in the back pew who just wants to hear of Jesus, but who does not hear of him. They watch them die until there are none left who are made righteous by faith. To such men and women who were hardly fed a word of the gospel, this becomes a blessing, because they enter into peace and rest in the sleep of death, being now with the Lord Jesus ever before their eyes, with no false preaching to obscure him and to snuff out what little faith they have left. Death in Jesus is always a blessing, but it is especially a blessing when the alternative is having your faith killed by dead works and the empty preaching of ignorant watchmen and self-pleasing shepherds. So here is what you can do for them. Whenever God gives you opportunity, you can speak the comfort of Jesus to them and remind them of their gracious Savior. And you can invite them to the feast of forgiveness which God has so richly given to you. Thereby, you may show your love for them, and your faith might become a blessing unto them. May God preserve in you the faith of Jesus until your end. The food which endures forever is not easy to find in this world. In fact, it is rare. It is getting more rare every day. In this our day, where there have never been more or larger churches, there is a famine not of bread, but of the hearing of the word of the Lord. But here we have a barrel of flour which does not fail. Praise be unto our God, who has so graciously preserved the words of Jesus among us, and who daily and richly forgives our sins and comforts us with the hope of everlasting life. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us pray.
O living God, in whose providence even the smallest creatures find their needs met, we draw nigh unto thee, seeking the same for ourselves. We thank and praise thee for all thy goodness and mercy. But most earnestly do we glorify thee for the gift of thy Son Jesus, whom thou didst send to deliver us from the due reward of our transgressions, and by whose resurrection thou hast preserved for us the unfading crown of life. Give unto us faith in thy power and goodness, that we may ever trust thee for all our daily needs, and fulfill the duties of each day without fear and anxiety for tomorrow, knowing that thou orderest all things according to thy word, and carest for all thy children. Bestow thy grace upon us so that we seek not the vanities of this world, nor the deceitfulness of riches, but ever set our hearts on the treasures of thy kingdom, and to the righteousness which is by faith. Let thy word dwell in us richly, so that in love we may assist one another in our trials and infirmities. Grant that we may especially be inclined to do good for the household of faith. Endow thy church with humility and compassion, that the love of Christ may shine upon the fallen, the wayward, and the heavy laden. Strengthen thy servants everywhere, that they may not grow weary in well-doing. Shed thy light upon the nations, that they might turn unto thee, and that all kindreds and people may worship thee. Bless also our own land, that thy reverence and truth may prevail in government and in the halls of commerce, industry, research, and education. Through life's short day, bless our families. Be with them in sorrow or joy, sickness or health, disappointment or success, and preserve them with thy grace. Forgive us our sins, O Lord, and teach us that thou art a God who in righteousness and mercy rulest the world and governest all men. And since we can do no good thing without thee, quicken us by thy Spirit, that we may remember the loving kindness which thou hast shown us in thy Son, and so perform works of love, faith, and hope, until we join the saints above in blessed, joyful, and abundant life through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. We sing hymn number 408.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. That we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Thank you.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart. Sing the Nunc Dimittis. Strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. We sing hymn number 410. The Lord be with you.
And with my spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.